All right, we're on spiritual growth. We're still on lesson one. Three types of Christians, handout page 7. We have like 2 sentences to go, but we have to back up in order to get the crux of it. So if you go up to half a page up, it says, we should also note that a God-made Christian is not only one anointed by the Holy Spirit, they're also one who is a disciple of Christ. What does it mean to be anointed by the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? You got it. Called out. Anointed is called out. You're called out, and when you're called out, he jumps in. So you're called out, and he jumps in. That is, indwells you, and from that point on, you are anointed. And then we looked at those passages, and it says, as a disciple, which means they are a learner and a follower of Christ, his terms of discipleship are revealed to them. In other words, there's not one thing God demands of you that is not in this book, in your Bible. Not one thing. He will never ask you to do something he hasn't already showed you or told you about or showed you how to do. Never. He'll never give you more than you can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So he'll never do that. Everybody get that? So when you're looking at life and you're saying to yourself, oh, what about this? How am I going to do? He'll never give you more. And the other thing is, in the Philippians passage, I think it's 3-something, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's no possible way that God would put anything in your life that you cannot handle. So when things happen in our life and we have difficulty handling it, what is the reason? Thank you, June. No, you're right, June.
For our growth and also
the question is, so when we have difficult things in life, why is it that they're difficult if he asks us to do things that we can do and we have the power to do?
We have to lean on him and we have to...
That's what David said.
Oh, depend on him and we have to, and sometimes it's for testing.
All that's true, but that's not the answer to the question. The question is, why do we have difficulty? Why? Yeah.
We're not walking in the Spirit.
We're not walking in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons. And if we're not, we're always walking in something, right? Always. Oh. Especially if you go to the park. No, but we're always walking in something.
Oh.
And you're either walking spiritually, you're either walking in the Spirit, or you're walking in the flesh. Those are the 2 walks you can take. You can't take a 3rd. Or you're walking in the world, I suppose, right? Any other walk? No. I mean, one of the things I find so enjoyable about the Bible is that it is absolute. There's only 3 places you can walk: with God, with the flesh, or with the world. That's it. And so you're going to walk with something, and one of them is if you're having difficulties because you're not walking with God. What else? Yes, Carrie.
You're not trusting him and think you can do it better.
You're not trusting him, okay. Maybe think you could do it better.
Trying to do things on your own.
Well, that's just saying the same thing a different way.
He's always conforming us.
That's true. We're being conformed, but that doesn't explain why it's difficult for us. See, the question is, what makes it difficult for us to deal with situations in life that we find very difficult to deal with? What makes it difficult? Ron.
Lack of trust in the Lord.
Yeah, same thing, yep. No, that's not what we're talking about.
We don't like to suffer.
That's true.
And we are called to suffer, but when it happens, we don't recognize it because we don't want to do that.
That is exactly true, but that's almost the reason. The reason is because we're not giving up something in our life that we need to give up. When you have difficulty going through life for any reason whatsoever, I don't care what it is, and you're finding yourself always in deep waters and things are bad and no matter what happens, you just can't find that peace, you can't find that joy, the answers seem to be slipping away, It's always the same reason, because there's something in your life that you haven't given up, and it is not the problem. It's something that is outside of the problem that you have to deal with God. And you haven't dealt with it, and that's the reason why that's in your life. To give you an opportunity to think about it and to do something about it. Everybody get it? I can't tell you, and but I will. I don't know if that's the proper way of saying it, but but here's how it's coming out, okay?
Christian hyperbole.
Right? Yes, Christian hyperbole. Yeah, so. We seem to believe and think, and I'm talking about mature Christians, babes in Christ, every level of being a Christian. We seem to believe that we can carry things in our hearts that are sinful to God and still speak with him and still have favor with him, put it that way. We can't. You can't do it. If there's anything in your heart, I don't care what it is, because he is so holy and he is so righteous, he can't. Give you favor, or you can't find favor in his eyes if you're holding anything onto anything. And that's why most of us have difficulty with troubles in our life. They're financial troubles. We usually bring those on ourselves, not always, but generally, right? If it's medical problems, he brought them on, and he gives us the strength to handle them. But generally speaking, when we find it difficult to handle situations in life, it's because there's something in our life outside of that situation that's taking away our joy, peace, and our ability. I'll give you an example. How many times have you been right with the Lord? How many times have you been reading your Bible, praying, fellowshipping, and doing all the things you should be doing, and something comes up and you say, remember I told you a long time ago, I said there's two ways you go through this life spiritually. Either you walk through it with God and Christ and the Word, or you get dragged through it, but you're going. You know, life is a cycle that doesn't stop. It just moves. So yesterday was a problem day. The day before somebody catches poison ivy was a day before poison ivy, but then poison ivy comes, it's part of the day. And even that will pass, and it'll go away, the bandages will go away, the discomfort will go away, but there'll be something else there. Life goes on, and you have a choice to make. God gives us his Word, he gives us his Bible, and everything that's in it to handle any situation in life. And so if you use that, and you have, everybody here knows what I'm saying, when you're in the Word, you're joyful, you feel his peace, you feel his love, you feel the closeness, you feel the relationship, and then something pops into your life, you deal with it like that. That wasn't hard. Thank you, Lord. The other way is you're not in your Bible. Your relationship with him is a little spotty, and you got a little black spot somewhere in your heart. Then something comes into your life. Oh, now this. You get it? We've all been in both those positions. That's how we know. I saw a hand.
Yeah. There's a scripture that applies to this. Basically, it's 1 John 3. 19 through 22.
1 John 3:19-22.
Yes, 1 John 3.
Oh, that's good.
Verse 19 through 22.
I think.
Go
ahead and read it.
What verse? The third chapter.
19. Chapter 3:19, starting at 19. By this we know that we are in the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases. So
that's the exact proof verse of everything I just said to you. Right? Yeah. Everybody get that? That is the proof verse that says that backs up everything I just said to you. Right? 1 John 3:19-22. Because what's happening is when that happens and you're not right with God, our conscience is condemning us. So now we have to deal with that problem without the benefit of all the spiritual gifts that God gives us. That's the problem.
He lets you know right away. I mean, he does.
Yeah. Well, some people are, but he lets you know, but some people aren't listening, okay?
He may not admit it, but you know right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All
right. So That, so we as a follower of Christ, we're a disciple, and his word is revealed to him. And then two, a regenerate soul has the power to comply with these terms because of God's enabling grace. What's Philippians 4:13? I think I quoted that. What does it say? Right. And so I've seen people take that out of context, and they're running through some problems, and you bring that verse up, and what they'll say is, well, that's not what it means. All things doesn't mean that. I would say to them, well, what does it mean to you? It means when I'm talking about spiritual things or spiritual warfare, this, that, and the other. Again, when that's the problem, and they're telling you that, and you're reading the verse, and you know what the verse really says, the word all means all, then it's something that's bothering him that's outside of the problem. The text makes it very clear that you can do anything through Christ. Does that mean that you could be a brain surgeon, PM?
No.
What does it mean?
I mean, God gives you the ability to do whatever, you know, he mm-hmm. gives you in your life.
What?
He gives
perfect.
You everything mm-hmm. that, he gives you the strength, he gives yeah. you everything you need.
He gives you the strength, he gives you the intelligence, he gives you or the wisdom, he gives you the power, he gives you the physical ability, the mental ability, the spiritual ability. He gives you everything you need to accomplish any task that he puts in your life. And that's the perfect answer, because there's some things that go in Tom's life that he can handle but you couldn't handle. But there's things in your life that's vice versa. So since each of us have our own tailor-made individual plan, okay, we can do all things individually. So to have the beauty of that verse is that it's written for all people, all of his people that have all different plans. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible is personal. That's why you could put your name in any one of these verses and you wouldn't be harming it and you wouldn't be adding to the Bible, because if you were the only person in the world that got saved, this book would be no different and it would have your name in it. Yes.
That verse is in the middle of a is in the middle of where Paul is thanking the Philippians mm-hmm. for providing for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's where he mentions that he has learned to be content in
whatsoever state I'm in.
Great provisions or in meager mm-hmm. positions. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he put that verse in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thanked the Philippians for. So it's more God will provide.
I can do all things. Is you could write it. You could interpret it that way. That God will provide will provide all things to us and strengthen us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when he says you can do all things, he's giving you the ability to do it. So he's providing the ability that you need to get to any event in life. And I got to tell you something. One of the reasons why a lot of Christians are half baked, why a lot of them are lukewarm, and they're just hanging in there, and even some that think that they're not that way. The reason The reason there are so many weak Christians in the evangelical church is because they fail to believe God's word in its entirety. They fail to understand or apply God's word to their life in entirety. They always find reasons why it doesn't work, and instead, it's the Bible is the exact opposite. It works in every event. Doesn't the Bible say that there's not one thing in here that has ever failed? Doesn't it say that in the Old Testament? Not one thing that he's ever promised has ever failed. Not one thing. And that would include that verse in Philippians and every other verse. So when we come to the Bible and we're looking at it and we don't seem to be getting, and this is something you can take home, and we're reading it, we're studying it, and we don't seem to be getting that peace, and we're dealing with things that's very difficult, and we seem to be losing control even, stop. Put that aside. Now look at your heart. You look at your heart, and you make sure that that heart is clean, that you have nothing. I mean, pride is that a flake of pride will bring you down just like a 30-odd six. That might be a little hyperbole, but it's true. It'll bring you right down. You'll have no strength for anything because of pride, because you're so busy thinking about how great you are, or the flesh. Just one little flake of that, you'll lose your ability, your strength, your spiritual strength. And so it isn't the problems. You need to always remember something. When you have a problem in your life, it's not the problems. It's something outside of the problems that you haven't dealt with to get right with God. Because if you do, then no matter what the problem is, you'll sail right through it every time. And we've all done that. We've all had problems come in, and we were right with God, and we just whoop, doo 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 doo, right? It was great. But if you don't have that, always look outside the problem. And excuses, there's no excuse. If you have an absolute truth, there's no way you can abate that. There's no way you can put an addendum on that. It is absolute in the fact that it is exactly as it's written, and there's no wiggle room at all. It's solid. Yeah?
I was just going to say, at least for me, I've kind of looked at it over the years that whenever I lose my peace, that's the sure sign that, okay, something's wrong, got to get it right. And sometimes I still hold on to that too long, but I recognize it. But it is, until you straighten it out.
Yeah, it is,
and then,
absolutely.
Then once you get your joy back, you're like, okay, it's all set.
A good example for you was that lost document.
Yeah.
That lost document, remember, three years ago, she couldn't find it, and it was a meeting going about to take place, and that document needed to be in that meeting. She didn't panic. She just said, Lord, show me where it is, right? And her faith was tested. And a minute or two before the meeting was due to start, somebody said, oh, you left this upstairs, Jerry. And that's a perfect example of having peace in a tough situation, and God coming through, in a sense, delivered her. Just like he delivered Goliath and the bear and the lion to David, he delivered her from that situation. And he's delivered you and I from different situations. Mm-hmm. But when we have that biblical cleanliness that the Bible calls us to have, then we have the peace, and it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens. If you have biblical peace, it doesn't matter what happened. And I just remind everybody of this. Everything you have, the clothes on your back, the hair on your head, the toenails that are hanging in your toes, or in June's case, the one that's missing, either way, okay, you're leaving it all behind. You're leaving everything behind.
I've already left the hair behind.
Yeah, the hair's already started with a few of us. Yeah, you're right, you're right. So to be so concerned about those physical things is really just, it's a very foolish thing to do. All right, then it says, let's go to 3. By surrendering themselves to the Lordship of Christ and taking up their cross and forsaking the world, the saved sinner finds rest for their soul. Matthew 11:29, one of Wink's favorite verses. Matthew 11:29. And so let's have Carrie read Matthew 11:29. And 30? Okay, so
and
what?
Yoke is work.
Yes.
That's make my work upon you. Yoke is work.
Why don't you exegete the verse for us, Wink?
Well, that's what he's saying. I mean, whatever he asks you to do, my burden is light. It may seem heavy, but it's light because he's going to do it with it.
Mm.
But it's a yoke. A yoke suggests work.
And light. Okay, now describe work. Describe what you mean by that.
Going to the world. See, that's our job as Christians individually. We get fed here, we get loaded up with everything we need from the pulpit and then mm-hmm. Bible study and mm-hmm. the fellowships and everything.
What does he mean when he says, come to me all you that are labor and are heavy laden? What does he mean by that?
Talking about sin.
Okay.
Okay. Weighs you down. Mm-hmm.
And how do we know that's true?
I'll give you rest, take my yoke upon me, and a lot of it has to religious work too.
Mm-hmm. Look at verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Mm-hmm. So he's saying that he is God incarnate in that text, and he's saying, as God incarnate, come to me all of you, okay? who labor and heavy laden, and he was talking about sin. And I guess a secondary thing for that would also be, if you come to Christ, it's not just for sin. If you have work that you have to do outside of the ministry, it's maybe even just it's work in your life to do, that he will work with you to help you to do the things that are that find favor in the Father's eyes and in His eyes. And you can't, by the way, and you can't do this without Him.
If you go back farther into the continents, you know, you went to 25, at that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things." So it's not an open invitation.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Yeah.
You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them unto little children.
Yeah.
Pastor, on verse 30.
That works down to that. Mm-hmm.
I have on verse 30, for my yoke work is easy, meaning perfect, and my burden is light, meaning controlled. I don't know where I got that from. I don't know. That's what I have for those words. Yoke is work, easy is perfect, and my burden is light.
I think that's a little misleading, but if it works for you. You get the idea.
I think like Wick said, is talking about becoming a Christian and then becoming a disciple. You know, come through all your labors, like that. So you come into Christ to be saved.
Yeah.
And then now you're going to take his yoke on, and now you're going to become a disciple.
Before that, he was condemning Jewish cities and showing if the same message I had preached had been preached in Sodom, which was a Gentile city. Mm. He said they would have repented long ago. He was chastening
yes.
Israelite cities there. The three cities that are Jewish and mm-hmm. the Gentile cities that are there in that context. And then he goes into this. He says, it's great.
Let's go to Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 3. Andrew, 4:3. Make it actually go from 1 to 3.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Okay.
I have a quick thing I was just going to ask.
Go ahead.
That. So I still really believe that yoke is the yoke of grace, because it allows the person not to be under the law, which
yeah.
relates to this.
It is grace.
Nature.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, because it's the law that keeps the man
yeah.
under mm-hmm. that, you know,
yeah, he's what he's doing is he's telling the Jews in Matthew, he's telling them that you're no longer under that yoke. He's used that example many times.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good point. It is under grace. Yeah. Yeah, and we're talking here about the disciple surrendering to the lordship of Christ, and forsaking the world and finding rest, and rest for their souls, meaning spiritual rest. The other stuff, the other rest we talked about as far as situations in life, events in life, people in life, whatever it is, that's covered in other areas. But at this specific type of rest he's talking about here is spiritual rest. And let me ask you this. What does the Bible say about the people that are lost, their rest?
There's no rest for the wicked.
They have
no rest. Says the Lord.
Okay. There's no rest for the wicked, right? And that means anybody that's not saved. How do we know that that's true?
The Bible says so.
Just watch the news.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also watch the news, especially today. You get I don't know, I haven't followed much of it because I find it to be putrid. But you can see the word lawlessness all over the television. the Bible word lawlessness is being shown to the whole world today, mm-hmm. in the event of looting. That is what it's like in your heart if you don't have Christ. Think about that. Mm-hmm. If you don't have Christ, that lawlessness that you're seeing played out by these people in black with masks on and clubs and guns and all those other things. Is exactly what plays out in your heart if you don't know Christ. That's why there's never any peace or rest, because you are in a constant state of lawlessness, because you are under the wrath of God, and somehow, some way, you spiritually understand it. God bless you, little one. So every time you look at those looters and those people that are causing all the trouble, understand the word lawlessness is a picture that you can actually see, and that picture is a metaphor for what's inside of a lost person's heart. As a matter of fact, it was inside of all of our hearts at one time. Yeah.
It's kind of predictable that as they continue, they're going to continue to strive against God more and more, because
oh, yeah.
there's a law that's on their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get, without grace, they're going to drive themselves insane.
I think myself personally, I got to put this over here because I don't want to dirty up my Bible. Personally, I believe that we're at if we're not there, we're very close to a point where God says, I gave them up, I gave them over, I gave them up, I gave them over, I gave them over. I believe that with all my heart. And I think the proof of that is going to be, and especially if in the political scene, if we don't have a very strong president, if we have Sleepy Joe in there, then we're done. Then we're done. Everybody better have calluses on their knees. Because you need to be on your knees a lot, okay? Not to scare anybody, because we're not children of wrath to begin with. Thessalonians tells us that. But I think with all my heart that this is what's happening, that God has allowed a situation to develop in our country today through a disease that prefaced it, and now with the death of that man, the unjust death of that man, really, has allowed that to promote lawlessness, to permit that lawlessness to go from a local scene to a national scene, to maybe even a world scene, and that lawlessness is all of Satan, and you can tell it's of Satan because of what they're doing, and this may be the point where God says that I gave them up, I gave them over, and I believe that that may be where we are, and if we're not there, we're very, very close. And what comes after that?
Yeah.
That's when a party starts. That's when a party starts. I mean, we got 10 people over here, 10 people over here, all brilliant minds, and they all think different things. I don't care. Myself personally, I know I'm going to heaven no matter what happens here. Period. New thought. And I can get through anything that this world dishes out. I can. You know why? Because anything this world dishes out is limited. Very limited. It's temporary. Pain, suffering, lawlessness, it's all temporary stuff.
Death is gain.
Death is gain, exactly, exactly. I mean, don't get the wrong idea, and, you know, some people might think, you know, we're a nut job, but it's not that. It's that we're not in control of anything. God is in control of everything. All we're doing is taking what he's brought to us in our life, and through the music of Scripture, we're dancing our way through life. That's how I see it. Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You won't be accused of tickling people's ears.
I won't be, no. I can stand before him like this. I didn't tickle no ears. I'm not an ear tickler. Yeah, I know, but I also don't want a busload of people out here. Besides, we got enough problems. Well, we don't have any problems. They have the problems, really. Okay, so let's look at this other one, Revelation 14, 13. Ear tickler, that's so funny. I mean, that is the anti of me. 14:13, Diane.
Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.
Okay, I want to stop here because that's really good. Your deeds follow you. But that's exactly what I just said, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly what I just said, right?
Yep.
You know, that's why I love the Bible so much. And I got to tell you something. I don't remember reading that verse. But, you know, you can actually talk Bible. If you study it enough and you're in it enough and you preach it enough and you pray on it enough and you pray back, you actually can talk Bible. What does Spurgeon call it? Bibliline. It's a Bibliline. You have a Bibliline vocabulary. In other words, everything is orientated towards Scripture. And that's what happens with me sometimes. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know it's in there somewhere. The concepts, the applications. I told you I like applications. But what does it say here, your works will follow you? What does that mean? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. But he's talking about works. What is that?
Yeah, I was just going to say
okay.
That.
Okay, yeah. Your fruit basket. Okay, now does that mean you're going to have, if it's a fruit basket, does that mean you're going to have a U-Haul, a spiritual U-Haul?
Or a fruit cup.
Huh?
Or a fruit cup.
Or a, yeah, maybe you won't need that, right? Maybe you'll just need a little dish, a little serving dish. What are you going to say, Wayne?
I think that's a quote on the bulletin. I remember the time an older man asked me when I was young, "Do you know what you are doing now?" I thought it was some kind of a trick question. "Tell me," I said. "You are building your memories," he replied, "so make them good ones."
Oh, that's
good. And I would tell you that the sermon today is called, it's called Memories Are Forever. That's why I picked that for the bulletin. And I want to tell you something. When you're only taking two things with you, physically, your works, and I'll tell you why it says that they go with you, okay? Because when you're down here and you're sojourning in your life, doesn't the Bible say that your works are recorded, that everything you do is recorded? And now there's no books in heaven, there's no stenographers up there. It is a metaphor to let you know that everything in your life is in God's mind already. He could call you up now and recite to you everything that's going to happen to you in the next 20 minutes or 20 years, and it would come to be exactly as he said it, because he is the sum of all knowledge, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you go there, your works are already in heaven, because the moment you commit them here, they're recorded in God's heart in heaven. That's how I view it, okay? Mm-hmm. But what you will leave here with, you will leave here with two things. You'll leave here with your relationship with Christ, and you'll leave here with the memories that you made while you were here. And I don't want to go into any more than that, but just to tell you, there's only two things, not three things, that every soul leaves here with. And neither one of those things requires a dish or a U-Haul. They're something, they're part of your soul. They're part of who you are. When your relationship with God is in your heart, and the heart is used as a center of emotion, and so when we say we love somebody, we know we have a picture of a heart. It's the same thing is true spiritually. So when we leave here, we're going to leave here with a heart either full of Christ and a relationship that was blossoming. We're all going to get to heaven with our relationship, and again, I don't want to get into it too much, but we're going to get into heaven with our relationship, and that relationship is going to vary according to what we do here. Relationship to with God, fruit, and memories, all three of them are connected. And they're going to go with you when you leave here. Your works are already recorded in heaven. Yes, Wink.
Here's the third quote that fits exactly what you just said. This is from Neil Anderson. This bulletin, always good stuff. I hope you all read the back of the bulletin. But here's the third one. What you do doesn't determine who you are. Who you are determines what you do. I thought that's
oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Character right there.
Yeah, I also have another one. It's amazing how God works. It's just so amazing. I listened to a Bible study on Mondays online, and the end of the 2-minute little blurb was, you have a headstone, day you're born, the day you die, with a dash in the middle. He said, your life here is all about the dash.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And it goes in with what we're saying. It's
exactly.
It's all about the dash.
It's all about the dash, yeah.
That one's too,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the key to remember here, is that as believers, the application that you should take from here is that as believers, you need to make sure that if anything goes on in your life and you're having trouble dealing with it, that you stop dealing with it and you start dealing with the other problem that's in your heart. It's a problem you have with God. And don't deceive yourself into thinking you don't. I'll give you an example. Fear is a sin. And a lot of believing Christians walk around with fear in their heart. They fear certain things, okay? Fear is a sin. Pride is a sin. Carnality is a sin. And all of these three that I just mentioned can be broken down into little bits, and you can find little. In other words, it's like sin is like a hand grenade. Okay, if you ever look at the old pineapple in World War II, it had these little square things in it, and they were chunks. And what it was in the side of it was an explosive charge. And when they pulled the pin and they threw it, this charge was set to go off. And when it went off, those perforated square plates, metal, would explode and go out in every direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what would cause injury to soldiers. The same way some missiles on aircraft, on jet fighters, will knock down another plane. They'll have a missile with maybe a 10-pound warhead, and wrapped around the warhead, and the warhead's only about maybe 18, 20 inches long. It probably weighs 10 pounds of high explosives. But around it, they have these little bands. It's one band of metal, but it's perforated. So when that thing goes off, it sends out strips of metal. It's big. So it's one piece of metal just take a wing right off an aircraft. They're not meant to kill the pilot. They're meant to disable the aircraft. So the same thing applies with carnality, with pride, or with any other sin. It's like a hand grenade. There's little pieces of that it may not be one specific thing. You go, I'm not proud. Well, what were you thinking when you said that? What was in your heart when you said that? Or as Vinny said, in his view, this is pride, okay? It isn't for me because I don't have that in my heart. This was a gift that was given to me. But to some people, it could be considered that way. That's like a little part of it. Or Tom could say, well, you know, I did this and I did this and I did this, and that's another little part of it. So these sins that we're talking about, they're not one specific sin. They are a name for a category of sins. Mm-hmm. They're like the hand grenade. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that you may have a problem and you may be trying to deal with it and you're having too much trouble and you're not finding peace. You can't find the peace in it. Then what you have to do is put the problem to the side and you have to examine yourself. And you have to see what's causing you not to have that peace and what's causing you not to biblically approach that problem and get the peace that you need to get through it, get the wisdom you need. Because I got to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I found myself in that position several times. And what ends up happening is I can't think straight. When I have something in my life that's keeping me from solving a problem right away, it's because I can't think straight. You know, even the wisdom that we have to solve a problem is given us to God. Mm-hmm. I've come in this church when I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went to bed at maybe 10, and I got up at 2, and I came here, and at 10 o'clock I stood up there, and I've even had somebody tell me that it seems like when you're tired, you get up there and something happens to you. You just, boom, right? It's because for no other reason, I could never do that on my own. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do it. If you had as little sleep as I did, you wouldn't be able to do it. It's God who empowers you. And the same, you can say the same thing about problems in life. God gives you the wisdom. He gives you the strength. He gives you everything you need. So the thing I want you to take out of here this morning is if you're having problems dealing with situations, then don't look at the situation. Just let it rest. Go look in your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember for about 10 years I did a group at Monday nights at church, drug and alcohol.
Oh, the friendship.
Yeah, friendship. And I remember two times I did not want to go. Mm. I just said, I don't want to go. I want to call everybody up and say, I don't feel like going. And both times my son Paul said, now is the time that you really need to go. And both times that I did go, I let two people go. So that's when the Lord just said, you're so completely relying on him like you. You just can't do it. You don't have no strength. Mm. You have to rely on Christ's strength. Mm. And the Holy Spirit just controls you.